I'm going to wait one more minute. Give everybody a chance to get hooked up because they got more snow, so they're watching it at home. Everybody's logging in at the house. Somebody text me and tell me you're online. Anybody, somebody. My number is 740-418-1318. Someone text me and let me know you can see me. Okay. Oh, Hope was, she was good right up until the end. Man, she got a set of lungs. That baby. Okay, let's see. Maggie, Ashley. Maggie says she can't see me. Says, I can hear, but I can't see. I'm on, but can't see you. I can hear you. Tell me, somebody tell me when you can see me. We are working on it. Am I? Okay, you should be able to see me now. Somebody. Anybody. Okay, the emblem, school emblem should be down and you should be able to see my ugly mug. Yes, how about you, Ashley? Anybody else out there? Let me know you're on. Amy Kahn. I love the sticker, Pastor Maggie. It's kind of cool. I don't know where they find all those. Okay, we are going to start. Glory to God. I have your all's emails, and it is my goal to finish grading all the papers from last semester this week, and I will be sending your results via a private email. Probably some of you will get yours as early as tomorrow, but give me 5 or 6 days. If you don't hear from me by next Tuesday, you might send me a little text message and see what's up. All right, well, let's pray and get started. We're going to do Unveiling the Apocalypse class 5 tonight. And let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we study your word tonight, we just ask that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. We're going to go over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. We'll look at Jesus' message to the church at Thyatira. Verse 18 says, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Number one in your notes. When Alexander the Great defeated the Persian Empire, one of his successors, Seleucus, rebuilt Thyatira. Originally, it served as a military outpost. Military is your blank. Originally, it served as a military outpost from which it got its name, which meant the citadel, castle, or stronghold of Thya or Thyatira. Number two, Thyatira, like the other seven cities with a community of believers, was located on the main Roman postal route. Historically, Thyatira was not a large, influential city. However, the city became an important commercial center because it had the natural resources and skilled craftsmen to make the much sought after purple dye. Skilled is your blank. Skilled. Three, more than likely the collar was probably scarlet, but in ancient times people used the word purple to refer to various collar shades of red. Scarlet is your blank there. Scarlet. Unlike the purple dye made from snails, the dye of Thyatira was made from madder root plant and is now called turkey red. The Bible tells us that Lydia was a seller of purple from Thyatira. Number four, Lydia was living in Philippi when she heard Paul preach. Preach the gospel. Preach is your blank. Lydia was a worshiper of the one true God. When she heard Paul's message, she became a believer, was baptized in the river on Shabbat, and gave hospitality to Paul and Silas. She was apparently Paul's first convert in what would be considered Europe, and the congregation of new believers met in her home. And you can read about Lydia in Acts 16. Number five, we don't know who first shared the gospel in Thyatira or when the first congregation was established, but we do know that Christianity took root in the city. Root is your blank in five. Root. Christianity took root in the city. The growth and influence of the congregation was such that they had a bishop who attended the Council of Nicaea in A.D. 325 and the Council of Ephesus in A.D. 431. So they must have been a growing congregation with some influence. Number six, Thyatira was known for its many trade guilds or unions. Today we might think of Thyatira as a factory blue-collar union town. Archaeologists have discovered many coins and inscriptions mentioning different trade guilds such as dyers, wool, linen, leather, and bronze, potters, tanners, and bakers. Each industry had its own trade union. Coins is your blank. Coins is your blank in six. Number seven, the norm in ancient times was that the trade unions acknowledged a certain deity. When Alexander conquered the Persians, the gods and goddesses of Greek mythology became the primary deities worshipped by the pagan world. Primary is your blank in seven. Primary. They would later be made over as Roman deities when Rome became the new world power. This was the situation at Thyatira and with the entire Mediterranean world when John sent his prophetic messages to the seven congregations. So in other words, the Greek gods and goddesses of Alexander the Great, when the Romans came, they worshiped the same gods. The Romans just had another name for them. Eight. Like a closed shop union town of today, people had to join the union in order to get a job. Job is your blank. When the union members assembled, the normal order of business was to worship their particular deity and seek its blessing. As with all idol worship, drunkenness and immorality often accompanied the worship. So job is your blank in 8. 9, in order for believers to get a job, they had to join the union of their trade. This meant participating in the worship of a pagan idol and joining in unholy perversion. So your blank is trade. It put them in a dilemma. Without being in the union, you couldn't work in the town. In order to be in the union, you had to take part in worshiping pagan gods or pagan deities, and that included sexual immorality. Number 10, someone in the congregation taught that it was okay for the believers to participate. This was the situation facing the believers that prompted the Son of Man to send them a prophetic letter facing the believers. So they were being taught by a false teacher that you could still serve Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and still take part in this sexual perversion that's going on. How many of you know we have the same spirit today? Somebody say amen or oh me. Number 11, when Rome established its authority in the region, Thyatira became part of the Roman province of Asia Minor. The modern Turkish city of Akhisar is located at the site of the ruins of Thyatira. The main archaeological sites are 4th through 6th century public buildings. Region is your blank. Region is your blank. Number 12, the Son of Man identifies himself also as the Son of God. Some scholars say that Yeshua never claimed to be the Son of God, but that his followers made this claim later in order to present Yeshua as more than just a human being, prophet, teacher, and healer. In other words, they invented this teaching that Yeshua never claimed this for himself. Claim is your blank. Okay? Let me keep going so we can clear that up for you. 13. It is important that we study the Bible for ourselves and not accept what people say, because every teacher has his or her own agenda. They will interpret the Bible in ways to support their agenda and then teach and write books to promote their views. Is Yeshua just a prophet and great teacher? Or does the Jewish commentary in the Hebrew Bible present Yeshua as the Son of God? The answer is clearly yes. Our New Testament or Jewish commentary presents Jesus as the Son of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, there is a way to study the Bible. It's called exegesis. Exegesis means you study the Bible, and as you study the Bible, you let that Bible determine what you believe. Then another word that is just the opposite of exegesis is eisegesis, and that's when you already have a preconceived belief, and so you just find scriptures to help prove what you already believe. And that's not the way you should study the Word of God. You should not already have a belief and then study the scriptures to back up your belief. You should let the Bible determine what you believe. I get aggravated at people when they say, well, my grandma said, or my granddaddy said. Well, you know, I have great respect for your grandparents, but don't tell me what they said. Tell me what the Word of God says. I tell people all the time, you're not entitled to your opinion unless your opinion lines up with the Word of God. So I say, amen, rule me. There's a lot of junk out there, and the Bible is the only way to judge these false teachers that are out there today. All right, moving right along. We in 14, Mike. In reference to Yeshua, the phrase Son of God or Son used alone but in relationship to God is found about 95 times in our Jewish commentary, which is our New Testament. Yeshua himself greets the congregation in Thyatira as the Son of God. People may not believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, but they cannot claim that he did not call himself by this title. During the time of Yeshua, mystical rabbis who were considered close to God were often referred to as sons of God. So this was not a new and strange idea for John's readers. The difference is that Yeshua is the unique Son of God in that he was God in human flesh. And I'm going to give you some scriptures, and you can look them up later. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 13. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And the first one again was John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. You can look those up later. 15, we have learned that Yeshua identified himself differently to each congregation based on the particular problems and issues facing the community. Problems is your blank in 15. Problems. Oh, 95 was your blank in 14. This is the only time the phrase Son of God is found in the book of Revelation. The citizens of Thyatira worshipped a number of different deities, but the chief god was Apollo. Number 16. In Greek mythology, Apollo was a son of Zeus, who was the supreme god. He was the supreme god and father of all gods. Let me stop right there for a minute. Number 10 is facing. Number 13 is teacher. 10 is facing, 13 is teacher, and 14 is 95. Back to 16. In Greek mythology, Apollo was a son of Zeus. Zeus is your blank, who was the supreme god and father of all gods. Apollo was worshipped throughout the ancient world as a son of God, meaning son of Zeus. Among other attributes, Apollo was identified as the sun god, and it was called and it was called the Radiant Shining One. He had a priest or priestess who spoke on his behalf to his worshipers. The Roman emperors took this title on themselves and claimed to be the human incarnation of Zeus. So you kind of understand now, they were worshiping Apollo, who was the son of God, son of Zeus, one of the pagan gods. So that's one of the reasons Jesus says, no, 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 you might worship Apollo over here, but I am the son of God. So that's why he uses that to introduce himself. 17. When the trade unions met, they worshiped Apollo. If his local priest or priestess spoke, they believed they were hearing the voice of the Son of God speaking to them. 17 is voice. This is why Yeshua identified himself as the Son of God. Zeus was not the supreme God and deity. Apollo was not the Son of God, and certainly not the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, according to Malachi 4:2. Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the one and only true God, and Yeshua, his Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me in Numbers 15, verse 38, write that down. Numbers 15, verse 38, God commanded the children of Israel to put tassels or zit. You ready, Wilma? We'll show them these. To put tassels or zit on the corners of their garment, all right? I'm going to get Wilma to zoom in on one of these zit. Can you see it? Oh, here, I got one here. This would be better. I'll lay it right here. Maybe. The zit or tassels is what God commanded him to put on there. The word corners is the word, and that's what God commanded in Numbers 15:38, to put these zit or these tassels on the corners of your garment. The word corners in Hebrew is the word kanaf. Now, Malachi 4:2, it speaks of the Son of Righteousness who has healing in his wings, okay? And the word wings there is the same word as kanaf, used, translated for corners and numbers, all right? So what does that all mean? Well, Mark 5:21, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible tells us that she said within herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And she did that because she understood the scripture, Malachi 4, the Son of Righteousness, which was a term for the Messiah, will have healing in his wings or in his zit, his the corner of his garment. And so basically what she was doing was standing on the word of God by reaching out and touching the hem of his garment, in particular zit, and she's healed and made whole. So that's Numbers 15:38, Malachi 4:2, and Mark 5:21. You write those down, study them out for yourself. 18. In the Hebrew scriptures, the one true God spoke to his people and told them to listen to his voice. The most important statement of faith for the Jewish people is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's out of Deuteronomy 6:4. The one true God spoke to his people and told them to listen when he says, hear. And the word hear in Hebrew is the word shema, and it doesn't mean just to hear with the ear, but it means to hear with the heart to the point that it provokes you to action. And in this case, when we hear the word, see the word, read the word, it's supposed to provoke us to the action of obedience and faithfulness. Somebody say, amen or amen. God spoke, number 19. So your blank in 18 is spoke. In 19, God spoke to his people through his oracles, the prophets. But 2,000 years ago, God began to speak to his people through his perfect oracle, his son, who would be God's word in human flesh. Speak is your blank in 19. Speak. 20. Number 20. The writer of Hebrews explains, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1:1-2. So writer, W-R-I-T-E-R, writer is your blank in 20. 21, as the glorified and exalted Son of God, exalted is your blank, exalted Son of God and Son of Man, Yeshua is described in the way John saw him in Revelation 1:14-15. His eyes are like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. This is symbolic apocalyptic language and not to be understood literally. Exalted is your blank in 21. We'll explain what I mean here in just a minute. 22, the Hebrew Bible tells us that God sees everything, good and evil. Good is your blank. And rewards the good and judges the evil. Of the many verses we can quote, consider the following. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. 23. As God's Son, the divine DNA of his Father is in Yeshua, enabling him to have the same nature, characteristics, and abilities of his Father. As the Son of God, with eyes like a flame of fire, Yeshua is able to see past the outward facades and pretenses of people and look right into their hearts. Hearts is your blank in 23. Hearts. Like natural fire, the fire of God in his Son is able to purify and cleanse the motives of his people while burning up the evil works and intentions of those who oppose him. I think I'm going to read you. I hadn't planned on it, but I think I'm going to turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist is preaching, and he says, let's pick it up in verse 4. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now watch what John says. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right, now watch what he says. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now let's go back to our notes here. Where were we at, Mike? 23. Well, we'll read 23 again. Now, with that in mind, that to those who love him, he's going to fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that Holy Ghost helps purify us, because the Holy Ghost helps teach us, lead us, guide us, direct our paths. Amen? But to those who don't receive Jesus, they are the chaff of the wheat. And they burn up the chaff. So Jesus was going to fill and purify the believers, but on the other hand, he's going to bring a fire of judgment to those who don't believe in him. Amen. 24. While God is a God of mercy, he is also a God who judges sin, and in his own time crushes evil people under his feet. His judgments are not out of emotional fits of anger, but are righteous judgments based on his moral character. Moses wrote of God, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Ecclesiastes 12:14 warns us, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So your blank in 24 is judges, God who judges sin. 25, King David spoke these words about the righteous judgments of God. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges the earth. As the Son of God, Yeshua executes the judgments of God on the earth. This is the meaning of the symbolic description of his feet. They are like fine brass or burnished bronze. Bronze is your blank. Bronze is your blank there in 25. These metals, talk about brass and bronze, these metals are a symbol of God's righteous judgments. Yeshua is warning his people that he will judge or put under his feet the evil in the congregation of Thyatira. Ouch, I wouldn't want to be one of those folks. 26. Because Yeshua is gracious, he takes every opportunity to speak a positive word of encouragement for his people before pointing out their failures. He wants them to realize that he knows or is aware of and is pleased with the good he sees in them. To the believers at Thyatira, he commends them for their works, their love, their service, their faith, their patience, and their spiritual progress. Service is your blank in 26. Service. This is a very active, loving congregation that is full of faith, as evidenced by the works of loving kindness, their patience to endure in difficult circumstances, and their physical and spiritual growth. They must have grown. They had bishops, and they were an influence in the region. I wish we could say that about every church. 27, the congregation of Thyatira had a lot going for it. There was a lot of spiritual life and vitality. Life is your blank, life. In modern words, we might say this was a growing congregation with a place for everyone to get involved in the various ministries of the congregation. Most of us would be blessed to be part of this congregation. We would probably also be blessed if the Lord commended us personally the way he did the believers at Thyatira. So, your blank there was life. Life is your blank in 27. 28. In spite of all the good things, the Lord sees a problem that is threatening the life and witness of the congregation. Yeshua chastises them because they allowed a false prophetess identified as Jezebel to teach that it was acceptable for them to compromise and corrupt themselves by participating in the idolatry and immorality at the meetings of the union. This was a common problem throughout the Mediterranean world facing the believers in the first few centuries. It was the same issue the Lord had with the congregation at Pergamos. False prophetess is your blank. False is your blank in 28. 29. The name of the woman may have literally been Jezebel. The Lord names people based on their character. The Lord called her Jezebel because she did what the infamous Jezebel did as recorded in the Hebrew Bible in 1 Kings 16, 21 and 9. Even in the 2 Kings 9. She is considered to be the most evil woman who ever lived. Evil. Evil is your blank. Even our modern world, names are still powerful. For example, who names their daughter Jezebel? Nobody. I never heard anybody name their daughter Jezebel. From biblical times, Jezebel has been a name for an evil person. I've heard pastors use it to describe someone in their church who was causing discord and trying to split a church. You know, call them Jezebel, or say they had a Jezebel spirit. Let's see. She is considered to be the most evil woman who ever lived. Even in our modern world, names are still powerful. For example, who names their daughter Jezebel, right? The name Jezebel has been associated with evil throughout history. 30. A little background is necessary to understand the seriousness of God's concern. Before God allowed the Hebrews to enter the land of promise, he gave them a stern warning. Warning is your blank in 30. Warning not to intermarry with the pagans, nor participate in any of their worship. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, all kinds of sites. Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their God, and one of them invites you and you eat of his sacrifice and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. So that was God's warning in Exodus 34. 31, we see that God considers idolatry and immorality as spiritual adultery and unfaithfulness to him. Like a husband is jealous for his wife to be faithful to their marriage vows, how much more the Lord desires the same of his people. Jealous is your blank in 31. Yet for political and economic reasons, King Ahab married a daughter of the king of Sidon. The Sidonians worshipped and served Baal, which means Lord. Baal was a rival to the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As it was with all pagan deities, Baal worship was accompanied by sacrifices and immoral behavior. 32. Ahab joined his new wife in her worship of Baal and began to impose Baal worship on the people in the northern kingdom of Israel. They were so successful, the people were forsaking the one true God of Baal. Jezebel was very persuasive and seductive. It all seemed innocent to the naive and undiscerning. Just add a little Baal worship along with your worship of Yahweh. But it wasn't long till the people wasn't long, the people preferred the carnal, sensual worship of Baal over the worship of Yahweh. Yahweh is your blank. 33, to please Jezebel, Ahab built a temple and altar to Baal in Samaria. She invited the 450 prophets of Baal plus the 400 prophets of Asherah, Baal's female companion, to feast with her at her table. To make matters worse, Jezebel killed as many of God's prophets as she could find. Worship of Baal was spreading so fast that it was threatening to supplant worship of the God of Israel. Prophets is your blank there. Prophets. You know, you think, how could they do that? But, you know, we have a new rise in paganism in America and around the world. You know, people are, I do believe that we're coming into a time when people are really, really interested in spiritual things. The problem is they're looking in the wrong places for the wrong God, instead of going, looking in church, looking for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 33. To please Jezebel, no, I already got that one. 34. Finally, there was a showdown between the God of Israel and Baal when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. When the God of Israel showed himself as the one true God, Elijah had all of Baal's prophets executed. When this news reached Jezebel, she put out a hit on Elijah, who fled for his life. That's in 1 Kings 18. Verse 17. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. Let me make sure I get you got that blank. So the blank in 34 is news. When this news reached Jezebel. All right, 35. God promised to destroy Ahab's family as judgment for his allowing his wife to kill God's prophets. It was Jezebel who had Naboth murdered in order to take his vineyard for Ahab. When Elijah heard about the heinous act, he prophesied to Ahab that God would judge him as a result, and that dogs would eat Jezebel's body at the wall of Jezreel. This prophecy was fulfilled 11 years after the death of Ahab. The only thing the dogs left was Jezebel's skull, feet, and the palms of her hands. Judge is your blank. Ahab was a weak-willed man, leader, and king. In other words, he was a weak leader and a weak king and a weak man. Jezebel was a much stronger personality and the real power behind the throne. Power is your blank in 36. Ahab was not able or willing to exercise his authority over Jezebel. We read in 1 Kings 21:25. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. 37. The Jezebel of Thyatira was having a similar influence on the congregation as the real Jezebel was on the children of Israel. The Jezebel of Thyatira was a self-proclaimed prophetess. She presented herself as an oracle of God, but she was really an oracle for Satan. She was teaching the believers that it was okay for them to participate in the idolatry and immorality that was part of the trade union ceremonies. If they participated, the Lord considered their involvement to be spiritual adultery. If they refused to participate, they might lose their jobs and would certainly be shunned socially. 38, idolatry is your blank in 37. To solve the believer's dilemma, the false prophets or prophetess claimed to have a word from God. She said that they could have the best of both worlds. They could worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while at the same time taking part in the religious ceremonies of their union. Perhaps her persuasive reasoning was that God's grace would allow for such a compromise. Also, since the believers knew that Apollo was not really a god, there was no harm in participating. Harm is your blank. Furthermore, How else would they witness to their lost friends in the Union? Right. Yeah. Yeah. 39. Harm is your blank. 39. What to Yahweh was a clear black and white issue, the false prophetess made a gray issue that appealed to the material and economic needs of the people. Some in the congregation were persuaded by her prophetic anointing, and it was leading them astray. The meat that was offered to idols was readily available in the marketplace and at discounted prices. Paul said in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 and 10 that purchasing meat in the marketplace that had been offered to idols was an individual matter of choice. 40. The participating in eating meat offered to idols at a religious ceremony was a different issue. That was a form of worship that showed communion and fellowship with the deity. It often led to debauchery and sexual immorality as part of the worship. This is what James instructed the new Gentile converts to avoid in Acts 15, when he said, "But that you write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood." Paul also strongly spoke against this in 1 Corinthians 10. Now let me explain this. If you bought meat in the marketplace that had been originally offered as a sacrifice, but you went into the market to buy and you bought some, Paul said that's your individual choice. But if you went to the ceremony and you were participating in eating of that meat during the pagan worship service, then you were also probably taking part in the debauchery or the sexual perversion, and that was not permitted. Somebody say amen or oh me. I hope that's clear to you. And in Acts 15, it's called the scholars call it the First Jerusalem Council. It's when all the apostles are coming to Jerusalem and they're talking about this phenomenon that's going on. Gentiles are being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're discussing it and talking about it. And at the end, finally, James has his say, and he describes it, this phenomenon, as the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David, Jew and Gentile worshiping one king. Amen? But then later on, in several verses later, he says, you know, here's what we're going to do. Because obviously, if you weren't raised a Jew and you just got saved, it's going to be hard for you to jump in and eat kosher. It's going to be hard for you to start wearing tzitzit on your clothes. You're not going to understand the word of God. So what James does, James says, we're going to bind these things. He says in verse 20, but that here's the things that we're going to write to you as Gentiles, that you abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. Those four things. And when James says things polluted by idols, he's talking about food that's offered up during the ceremony. And you're at the ceremony eating it. It was permitted if you bought it later in the marketplace, according to the Apostle Paul. 41, the Son of Man is gracious and merciful toward his people. He always gives us time to repent and judge ourselves. But if we fail to do so, he will judge us. For believers, his judgment and chastening is corrective for our own good and has redeeming value for us. For unbelievers, his judgment is separation from him. So just in case you missed some of the blanks, 38 is harm. 39 is meat. Meat. Let me give you a scripture. I gave it to you there, Romans 14. 40 is ceremony. Ceremony is 40. And 41, the Son of Man is gracious. Gracious. Moving right along, we're in 42. At Thyatira, the Lord had given the false prophetess time to repent, but she refused, and the leadership of the congregation refused to judge her words. Like Ahab, they were too weak to use their spiritual authority to cast her out of the congregation. They did not test nor challenge the prophetic word. Neither did the congregants who were following her. Like the city itself, the congregation was in danger of becoming a citadel or stronghold of idolatry and immorality. Yet even now, if they humble themselves and repent, the Lord is ready to forgive. So your blank in 42 is repent. Repent. 43, if the false prophetess and her followers do not repent, Yeshua will judge them himself. His strong warning is very graphic. Yeshua says he will remove his hedge of protection and mercy and give them over to their own sins. Sin carries within its own seeds of destruction. God will give them up to their own lusts, which will destroy them. Paul gave this warning to believers in Galatia when he said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Hedge is your blank there in 43. 44, because a false prophetess sows spiritual and physical adultery, she and her followers will reap the judgment of such sin in their own bodies. Spiritual is your blank in 44. Spiritual. The Lord says he will cast her into a sick bed. This is a Jewish idiom that means she will be afflicted with illness caused by her own immorality. When God's people see his judgment on her and her followers, they will see firsthand that he who has eyes of fire searches their minds and hearts and rewards them according to their righteous deeds. 45. Spiritual is your blank in 44. 45. The false prophetess claimed to be speaking for God. The Son of Man says she is teaching the doctrines of Satan. He then reminds those who have not followed this woman to hold on to what they know to be true from God's holy word. While God has his true prophets, their words will always be in agreement with the scriptures. The leaders at Thyatira should stop seeking a prophetic word from someone who claims to speak for God and just obey what God has already told them to do in his word. Woman is your blank in 45. Woman. 46. There are four very important insights we can gain from the prophetic message that are critical for our time. Beware of false prophets. That's the first one. Time is your blank there. Time. Beware of false prophets. Jesus warned us against false prophets in Matthew 7. This is a strong warning that miraculous signs and wonders are not the true test of a prophet from the Lord. 47. There have always been false prophets and prophetesses in the universal body of believers as well as in local congregations. Body is your blank in 47. Their numbers will increase as we get closer to the end of days. Yeshua said this himself in his teachings about the end times. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Peter warned of false prophets and false teachers. In the book of Revelations, John tells us about the beast from the earth who is the false prophet, Revelation 13. So body is your blank in 47. 48, we can tell true prophets of God from false prophets by examining their life and their words. True prophets of God will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is your blank. We'll walk in holiness, obeying the Lord, obeying the Lord. Will have a wholesome fear of the Lord and will focus their ministry and words on the character of God and the centrality of Yeshua as Lord. Their words will always be in accordance with the scriptures. Fruit is your blank in 48. 49, true prophets will be anointed of God, and that anointing will be obvious. While God gives his true prophets a measure of charisma, we must not follow charisma which can be counterfeited. We must inspect the spiritual fruit and follow only those who express the character of God in their lives. We are at 50. Let me make sure you got that last blank there. Fruit is 48. And inspect the spiritual fruit is 49. 50. Lesson 2. God holds leaders responsible for guarding his people. The primary reason why the false prophetess was able to continue her disastrous teaching in the congregation at Thyatira was because the leadership was weak. Weak is your blank. When God calls people to a leadership role, he gives them an anointing and spiritual authority that equips them to serve. The leaders at Thyatira did not exercise their God-given authority to rebuke and correct the woman, and if necessary, cast her out of the congregation. Weak is your blank in 50. 51, leaders have three primary responsibilities to the people they serve. Shepherding, teaching, and guarding or protecting, which I think comes under shepherding. The scripture is clear that God's leaders are not to rule over the people. Rule is your blank. But to serve them and be an example for the people to emulate. And I gave you a whole bunch of scriptures there. You can go look up in your devotional time. 52, lesson 3, believers have a responsibility to test the spirits. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, does not mean that the Lord is speaking through the person. Speaking is a blank. It may be the devil speaking through the person, or maybe their own soul speaking. Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. We should embrace the gifts of the spirit, including prophetic words. This is important for a healthy spiritual life. On the other hand, we must not be naive and believe that everything we are told is from God really is from God. So Paul says in the next verse, test all things, hold fast what is good. John wrote, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Speaking is your blank. I've told this to my church before, but I remember a church I was going to. I was a deacon. And there was a ladies, Okay, we're working on it. Okay, give me a thumbs up when you got me. Hello. We're working on it. We are working. Now, somebody tell me what the last thing they heard was. Somebody tell me. It's out again, Ashley says. Okay, it should be back on. Test 1, 2, 3. I need to know where you lost me at so I can go back to that one. Now you can hear me, but what was the last thing you heard? The woman. Okay. So, all right. So this woman, somebody gave her a word. She's going to get a husband, a new car, a new house. That night, this guy fixes her flat tire. This guy fixed her flat tire. She comes running into me and says, I found my new husband. I was like, whoa, time out. You know, but make a long story short, we tried to put the brakes on that relationship. She ends up moving in with the guy. As it turns out, he was only out of prison because of a clerical error. In the state of West Virginia, if you get 3 felonies, 3 strikes, you're out. You're in prison for life. And so he had 3 felons, and he was he got out on a clerical error. And he was a guy that was at the Moundsville prison that was the Don, or the Godfather. He ran the prison when he was in there. So, needless to say, they are not married today. But if somebody gives you a word, let it happen. Don't make it happen like she did. And really, you know, I'm always careful who gives me a word. I mean, if somebody's going to say something to you, you can't really stop them. But I look at someone, you know, say there's someone like probably every congregation's got one. There are people in the church, they might be mean-spirited because someone hurt them somewhere in their life, and they're bitter. I don't want that woman giving me a word or that man giving me a word. You know, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, and I definitely am not going to make it happen. All right? I've had a lot of words spoken to me concerning this church and this ministry, and you know what? They're all the same. It's going to explode. Well, great. We're all for it. We'd like to have more butts in the seat. But I'm not going to go out and draw a crowd for the sake of a crowd. I'm not going to have a dog and pony show here just to draw a crowd. I'm a pastor. Like Bishop Jake said, pastoring's like driving a bus. You don't control who gets on or who gets off. You just keep driving the bus. Amen? So, with that said, let me get to wherever I left off at. 52. Believers have a responsibility to test the spirits. Did I do that one? I already done it. Okay. Now we're at 53 is where we ought to be. Okay. 53. Believers must live holy lives. Tragically, our culture has broken its Judeo-Christian moral foundations. The pursuit of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life have replaced the pursuit of God. These are our new gods. As a result, our society has lost its fear of God. When people lose their fear of God, there are few restraints on the way they behave. Our culture and society now permits any form of godless behavior, and there is no shame to our sins. Somebody say amen, but that is the hour we live in. and we cannot allow it to change us. We must continue to live holy lives, unique, other than, not like the world. Moving right along. Pursuit is your blank in 53. Pursuit. 54, the values, attitudes, lifestyle, and morals of many professing believers are not much different than that of unbelievers. Whatever we spend our time and money and energy to achieve in place of knowing and serving God becomes an idol. It may be the God of pleasure, power, money, ambition, getting ahead, climbing to the top, pride, ego, or even family and friends. We are all challenged to overcome these temptations in our everyday life. Hallelujah. How many know your lives are going 100 miles an hour? Mine is. And I have to purposely set aside time for God. And I think each and every one of you need to do that yourself. Somebody said here the other day, we tithe 10% of our money. We should, at a bare minimum, be tithing 10% of our time. And she figured it out. She said that's at least 16.8 hours a week. Kind of convicted me. All right, number 55. Values is your blank in 54. Values. 55, to those who overcome the temptation at Thyatira and remain faithful, the Lord makes some wonderful promises. He says they will rule with him over the nations. Yeshua refers to the promise his father made to him in Psalms 2, verse 7 through 9. Yeshua also promises to give them the morning star. Literally, the morning star is actually not a star, but a planet, Venus, which is the brightest object in the sky after the sun and moon. It is the star that appears just before sunrise and signals the end of night and the beginning of the new day because of its brightness and time of the appearing. Ancient people worship Venus as a goddess. Let me tell you a neat story about Venus. Venus, I didn't know it at the time. But I was at the beach one day, and I could see this little star way out in there. I didn't know what it was. I later found out it was Venus. It was the morning star. But as the sun came up, I couldn't see that star anymore. And I remember thinking to myself, the Holy Spirit dealing with me at that time, in my heart I thought, that's the way I need to be. I need to let my light shine, but there's going to be times when, there's going to be times I need to let God outshine me. I'm not near as important as God is. Amen? That's called humility. Okay, I'm moving right along. 56. The name Morning Star was also given to Lucifer since he was the most beautiful angel in heaven. But when he sinned, his name was changed to Satan, the adversary of God and God's people. The appearance of the morning star every day just before sunlight is a message from heaven that God judged Lucifer because of his pride by casting him away from his presence. Because Yeshua radiates the glory of God, he is the true morning star who leads us out of darkness into the new day of his marvelous light. His countenance is like the sun shining in its strength. So your blank there is angel. 55 is faithful. Faithful. 56 is angel. 57, Peter added, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's not right. What's your say, Mike? It says, until the day what? Oh, it didn't change. It should say day. I changed that today. Huh? Okay. So, the Lord ends his message as he does all the others by exhorting the receivers of his message to hear what God's Spirit is saying to them. Those who hear and overcome will rule and reign with the Son of Man and live with him in glory, in his glory for eternity. Message is your blank in 57. Now, my phone says 7:44. When it says 7:55, I'm going to start the next class. Okay? All right.
See, I corrected everything that was wrong in this, and that's what I thought Terry printed for you. No, that's what I'm saying. Terry printed what I sent him today, so evidently.